This is Wake Up Call for 0605 and 0606 2021.
Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins. Again, it is my pleasure to be with you, and I want to thank you for tuning in to CCTA Wake Up Call. And remind you to please listen to our sponsors' ads and visit them and let them know you heard about them on CCTA Wake Up Call because they pay the bills, and we appreciate that. Our crew tonight, we have Bob and Mary Griswold.
Hello.
Hello.
Mary Griswold, rightwinggranny.com. Some of the best conservative news sources you can find on rightwinggranny.com. We have Melissa with us.
Hello.
We have a special guest, Alan Harrop, with us.
Greetings. Good evening.
Alan is on our education committee, and we have Doug Gould with us.
Hello.
And we have Pete Benton.
Happy Memorial Day to all you veterans. Thank you for serving our country.
You do know that was last week, right? We pre-record the show on Wednesday night, so it's still pretty close to Memorial Day for Pete there. And we want to mention Hal and Rainer James, who aren't with us this evening, and they weren't with us last week due to some health concerns and issues. And we want you to keep them in your prayers because they have been faithful patriots for many, many years and carried a lot of the load for CCTA. And we miss having them with us. But we just ask you to think about them and remember them as you lift them up in prayer. All right, well, we've got a very hot topic tonight. Matter of fact, on the way here on another radio station, this was their topic, and it's been in the news on just about every news media that's not in the mainstream, because mainstream chooses to ignore it or to deny it or to label it as conspiracy theory or something like that. But it is none of the above. It is an actual thing that is going on, and you may have heard about it. You may see it abbreviated CRT and not know what the heck it is. Well, it's not a cathode ray tube, if you know anything about electronics. It's critical race theory, and it's a threat to our education system. It's another attempt to indoctrinate instead of educate our youth. There's a lot of denial about it at the state level and at the local level. And even though it may not be currently in the curriculum, it is in the state and it is working its way through. And we're going to talk about that and highlight some of the hot points on that, and give you some sources where you can go and find out more information yourself. As with everything we tell you on this show, we don't ask you to believe us as factual, 100% undeniable. We expect you to go and do your own research. That's why we try to supply you with sources so that you can do that. So we'll try to be faithful to that tonight. Bob?
You know, Rick, as you mentioned, it's working its way into the school systems. It's not only working its way from top down, but also bottom up. You will hear certain individual classrooms that have plastered all sorts of art. I'm going to call it artwork when it's not artwork, and you know, maybe false premises. But it's coming right from the individual, right from the classroom, and apparently nobody is taking action against it.
Right. Well, what you're saying is true, because even though the state hasn't officially put it in the curriculum, that doesn't mean that individual teachers who follow that line of thinking and who are in that camp aren't teaching it in their classrooms, or at least exposing the students to it in some manner. And Parents, it's up to you to talk with your kids and find out what is going on in the classroom. Mary?
I just want to make a comment about this. He who controls the vocabulary and the definitions controls the debate. And I'm at a website called New Discourses, and they bring up a very interesting point. In terms of critical race theory, racism isn't even what most people think racism means. It is not prejudice based on race. It is the system of everything that happens in the social world and beyond that results in any disparity that works in the favor of racially privileged groups or any racially oppressed person claiming they experienced racial oppression, which means that anyone who decides that I didn't get the promotion that I wanted or I didn't get what I think I was entitled to can claim to be a victim of oppression, and under this critical race theory, they will be validated.
Does that apply to me?
Well, I think anybody that looks at it with an open mind and does their research will find out it's an attempt to battle racism by using reverse racism. And that's what I see anyway.
I really want to start with, because a lot of in conversations we have had with people who are for CRT is that we don't even know what it means. We don't understand it. And so I definitely want to let our viewers know, not our viewers, you can't see me, but our listeners know what the tenets of CRT are. There's five of them. The first and most important is recognition that race is not biologically real, but is socially constructed and socially significant. And what this means, and this is from the actual CRT.org, what it means is that there are not inherent traits to any race. Yet, did we not see the worksheets that went out for, like, for example, for federal government, the training where it said that being punctual was inherently white and we couldn't use that? Do y'all remember we discussed
yes.
this?
Yes.
Being hardworking was an example of using white supremacy.
There was a Smithsonian exhibit to that effect.
Right. So that contradiction itself. The second, acknowledgement that racism is a normal feature of society and is embedded within systems and institutions like the legal system that replace racial inequality. This dismisses the idea that racists incidents are aberrations, but instead are manifestations of structural and systemic racism. Number three, rejection of popular understandings about racism, such as arguments that confine racism to a few bad apples. CRT does not go with that argument. They recognize that racism is codified in law, embedded in structures, and woven into public policy. CRT rejects claims of meritocracy or color blindness, so you're not allowed to say, I don't see color. They reject that idea. CRT recognizes as the systemic nature of racism that bears primary responsibility for reproducing racial inequality. And the fifth one, recognition of the relevance of people's everyday lives to scholarship. This includes embracing the lived experience of people of color, including those preserved through storytelling, and rejecting deficit-informed research that excludes the epistemologies of people of color. Basically, they have a huge thing based on storytelling and storytelling from experience. A lot of critics against that are that it's not in fact, it's experience.
Didn't we just have a speech from the White House about people not advancing because they didn't have accountants and lawyers?
Yes. Yes.
You thought you heard that. We're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. We'll be coming right back and pick up this topic.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, before the break, we were talking about critical race theory, and Alan, I believe you were next in line.
Yes, thanks, Rick. What I wanted to say is that although we probably will be focusing at this on this show about critical race theory in schools, we have to remember that this is being spread throughout society. It's going into corporations, it's going into government entities, it's going into the military, where people are required to attend this training and they have to admit things that they don't believe in, and in order to maintain their employment, maintain their status. And so it is endemic beyond the schools. Of course, we all know that hopefully we all know that this particular theory is, in fact, comes out of Marxism. And it comes out of Marxism to the extent that when Karl Marx was talking about destroying capitalism, he knew he couldn't do it unless you destroy and create divisions within the capitalist system. And the first attempt to do that was economic division between the bourgeois, or the middle class, and the lower class, and to create those divisions. It did not work in the United States, because in the United States, people had the freedom to change where they stood economically. They had opportunities to advance, to the extent that we see recently we had a black president in this country. But on the other hand, using what they've now settled on, using racial differences, is something that they believe that cannot be refuted and will become that dividing force that will ultimately be used to move us towards socialism, Marxism, whatever you want to call it, but definitely away from freedom and capitalism.
Hey, Alan, Melissa, excellent points. I completely agree with you. Diane Ruffino is a brilliant legal scholar, and she and Tammy Carlone have written some treatises about this, and I think it's very enlightening to understand it for what it is. Critical race theory is a modern approach to social change, developed from the broader critical theory, which developed out of Marxism, which Alan talked about. If you go back to 1848 with Karl Marx and also Frederick Engels, they talked about this class struggle. It was based on economics. And what you have, as he said, proletariat and bourgeoisie, and you have the haves and the have-nots. Well, that's unfair. That's inequitable. So how do you remedy that? You do it by revolution. You take from the haves and you give to the have-nots. The idea that every person could transcend their origins through education, hard work, and good citizenship and the American dream is what most Americans have believed in. And it's what in 1607 brought our forefathers and foremothers to this country. It was the land of opportunity and to worship God as we see fit. What we're experiencing in the United States today is the version of CRT has been especially designed to denigrate our foundations and our core beliefs, and especially our faith in God. CRT approaches issues such as justice, racism, and inequality with a specific intent of revolution to reform American society. That's the bottom line if you understand nothing else. It asserts that our structures of government, law, culture, and society are inherently and inescapably racist. Even hard work, education, and merit-based achievement are racist. So the bottom line here, they're talking about revolution. Melissa?
So what the CRT, when it started, came a lot from, well, when they actually started producing books and teaching this thing, came a lot from after the civil rights movement. And the idea that they felt like there was this great uplifting and all these promises, and it kind of stalled. And then they started seeing in the late 80s and the early 90s a lot of legislation and discussion going on that race wasn't a problem anymore, that affirmative action wasn't needed anymore, that we had reached the goal. And so proponents of critical race theory are saying, no, that it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough retribution. It wasn't enough to repair what's been done to our country. So that's where the idea all started, and it's just kind of scholar building on scholar building on scholar. And the two points I wanted to make was that when you say, you know, it first went to the field of law, and it's taught widely in law schools and is a major discussion there, in that many, our justice system basically is built on racial inequality. And from there, it's filtered into the education, and it'll continue. Like you said, Alan, it's gone into our government, into our workplace. It will continue. They don't want equality, they want equity, which is basically equality of outcome. You're right about the revolution, because if you think about it, they see the very proponent, and it states in their booklets, is to weed out racism in everything. In everything. I mean, you think this situation is not racist, you are wrong, and you're racist for thinking that, because here is the racism. They are to root it out everywhere and seek it out, report on it, blow it up. And if you say that it's in our justice system, it's in our education, it's in our police, it's in every single thing, there is no fixing that other than blowing it all up. They do not think that we are moving forward. They do not think that we have made any progress. They want to go back and rehash things that, yes, we've done things wrong, or America has done things wrong. They want to rehash that. I don't see any growth from doing it that way.
Well, yeah. I think one of the points I'd like to make is that that's a bit of a minority. So, you know, as we've heard before, critical race theory is a revolutionary idea, and there are revolutionists who are trying to destroy this country. And basically, if I take the position that I'm right and everything you say is racist, then automatically I discount your opinion, I devalue your thoughts, I devalue your input, and we no longer have equity or equality either. So
I think that's a good point, Doug, because the national polls have consistently shown, they did one this past week, that showed that up to 80% of the people that are aware of this issue are opposed to it. So the vast majority of the citizens of this country will be opposed to this. Unfortunately, what they're doing is they're using the typical Marxist effort. They introduce it under other terms. They introduce it to the schools. They're subtle about it. But as we find out about it, it's up to us to be aware of it, to fight it, and to stop it. And that's what we're trying to do, and that's what has to be done if the countries will be saved.
I want to go back to something Melissa said. When you talk about the idea that a cheap meritocracy is racist, doing well in school is a white value, achievement is a white value, the reason that the economic revolution didn't happen in America was because of upward mobility. But if you can knock out that upward mobility by telling people not to achieve and telling people that getting good grades in school is a white thing, you don't want to do it, showing up for work on time is a white thing, you don't want to do it, then you can end that upward mobility.
Well, let's break that down. What we're saying is that people are no longer responsible for their own behavior. It's the system. And I'm going to call BS on that. People are responsible for their attitude and their behavior. If you cannot control anything else in the world, you can control your attitude and you can control your behavior, and you should be held accountable for it. I don't care what you want to call it.
But the system is teaching them not to be responsible for themselves. Yes. The system is teaching them to be dependent on us.
Correct.
Do what we say, and we'll take care of you. And they've been telling them that for decades, and they're still in the same position they were.
Well, Melissa, I think, mentioned, and I just want to follow briefly on it, is the civil rights movement. When Dr. Martin Luther King made that famous speech at the Capitol, he said what he envisioned or wanted to see or hoped to see was that people are judged not by their skin character, pardon me, by their skin color, but by the contents of their character. This theory, this indoctrination, and it's not just critical race theory, it's a 1619 project, it's social justice training, it's equity training, all these things do the opposite. So it's no longer a color-blind society, it's a color-first society.
Right.
That is totally destructive.
They label all these initiatives to make it sound like something that is good and is helping you. Let's jump back a few years. Equal opportunity. When that first started, you had people that had put in 10, 15, maybe 20 years of hard labor trying to work their way from the bottom of the ladder to the top of the ladder. And just before they got to where their goal was, here comes equal opportunity. Well, it wasn't equal opportunity because they brought somebody in off the street with no experience. The only requirement they had was their skin color. Yeah. And they suddenly jumped ahead of the guy that had been working for 15, 20 years to get to that position and took his place or her place. And that's what they're doing here with everything. They're trying to combat the problem by creating a bigger problem.
Well, maybe that's a good point. I mean, isn't the point that this whole process was systemically racist? And yes, it was systemically racist, but guess what? It was systemically racist against people who were not in the minority. It was systemically racist against the majority. And I'll say this publicly. When I went to college, I applied for student aid, and I was told by the counselor, "I'm sorry, sir, you don't qualify for financial aid because your father has too many assets." And then she continued on to say, "If you were black, it wouldn't be a problem."
Right. I experienced the same thing. But getting back to the socialism aspect of it, that's absolutely correct. Because throughout history, socialist governments, the way they take over a country like ours is to divide us.
Yeah.
Because there's no way, and they know there's absolutely no way, if we stand united, they can't come in here and take this country. They can't come in here and rule over us. They know that. And we're as divided now as we've ever been. You know, all the progress that was made over the past few decades is being squashed by these movements now.
Well, I think that's one of the biggest points, is that they want to go and keep bringing up Jim Crow and slavery and all of that. And they say that one of their main talking points is that white people don't want real history taught. And I have no issue with real history taught. In fact, I learned in school about the good, the bad, the ugly of America. You know, if you weren't taught that, there are certainly ways for you to find out and to teach your own children and your family. But teach about the good, the bad, the ugly.
Right.
Teach it. I want to hear your stories. I want to hear about the great black people who helped to, you know, invent something or discover something or write something. I don't have a problem with that. But do not teach that you as a race are held down and oppressed today because my child is still white.
That
I
understand.
Is going completely backwards.
And you said true history, and I think we'll all agree with that. And those of us sitting at this table have done their own research and, for the most part, know the true history because it's out there if you go and look for it. But 1619 Project
absolutely
is not true history. That's a made-up narrative.
Well, the woman who won a Nobel Peace Prize for writing that op-ed in the New York Times, she actually has come back and said she was wrong on two of the major tenets of the piece, where she said that, no, she was wrong about the 1619 year, that she really doesn't think that that's when the U.S. came into being. I mean, it's a flip-flop constantly. You cannot go backwards and teach to move ahead. You can't.
But the truth is, it was good enough to get her a professorship at UNC.
Oh, yeah.
Bob, you were next, weren't you?
Oh, I was going to add a simple thing. You know, we hear, along with this, we keep hearing now that we need to add more training for the police. The police need more training because of their improper actions or whatever else. The simplest response that I've heard was, you know what, you as a parent had 18 years to train your child. Don't suggest that we're going to train the police in a couple of hours.
Well, let's look at that point. The police nowadays have more training than police 50 years ago had, but they're less effective because their hands are tied. They're not allowed to enforce law, and the majority of the training they're getting now is social justice training,
yeah,
or what's the racial
sensitivity
right. training,
yeah,
or, you know, diversity training,
yeah,
you know, and that's not what police forces were created for.
Well, CRT actually uses examples of the policing nowadays, as it's in a lot of their articles, that it's the racial profiling is a big thing. One of the examples they used was that ICE was allowed to look at, and this was by law, they were allowed to, quote, racially profile Latinos and approach them to see if they were undocumented.
Pete, let me take a quick break and I'll come right back to you.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Pete, you had something on your mind.
Thank you, Rick. Excellent dialogue by everyone. I really appreciate your inputs. I'm going to go back in 1607, Jamestown, Captain John Smith. That was the first settlement in the United States, okay? Believe it or not, they tried socialism, okay? It didn't work.
They tried it in Plymouth and it didn't work.
1620 Plymouth Rock Mayflower Compact. Here's my point, and I'm going to make it real simple so everyone can understand it, because that's what I loved about Abraham Lincoln. He said, I spoke to the masses, and what I said, I made sure that people could understand me. Socialism is essentially breeds dependency of the people upon the government. The government is your parent, it's your father, it's your mother. You get everything from the government. Okay. Conversely, democracy says it's freedom of opportunity. If you work for it, then you can have pretty much what you want, but you are independent. There is a major distinction there between it. And I've told people, 11 years ago, I was in Germany as a senior war planner. I actually met German residents and citizens who lived under Hitler's reign of terror with the brown shirts and the black shirts. The brown shirts came to your home. They kicked in your door. They took your Bibles. They took your books. They took your money and your jewelry. And if you dared say anything, they would beat you half to death or take you off to jail. That is the tyranny of oppression that this country is confronted with. Okay. And again, I go back to my original assumption, which I've said before. It's time to realize Ronald Reagan's dream, bring America back to God.
The attraction, if I can use that word, for socialism is that you don't have to take responsibility.
Yes.
No matter what you do, the government will feed you. Mm-hmm. You will have a place to live. This is what they think. This is not necessarily the way it works out, but this is what they're thinking. So if you're a person who says, well, I really don't want to work, I really don't want to do anything, this is attractive to you.
Well, think about this pandemic we're going through and the lockdowns and the mask wearing and all the requirements. Isn't that just sort of training you to move you right into socialism?
Absolutely.
Also, somebody on Facebook today posted a post, said, who thinks that the government should have a fourth round of these stimulus checks? Well, most everybody said no. I said, yes, I do. But this time, they go to the people that have been working or the people that didn't refuse to go back to work when the opportunity arose and use it as an incentive to get people to go back to work. Give it to the working class.
I agree.
I would like to go back to the issue about what happens in schools, because that is part of our primary focus tonight. And I, as a trained clinical psychologist, I'd like to address the psychological impact on children that are exposed to these destructive theories, doctrines. Let's look at the white children first. They're going to be told, and are being told, they are inherently racist. It doesn't matter how they behave towards the other children. It doesn't matter how good they behave or how sensitive they are. There's nothing they can do about it. It's part of their, quote, whiteness. And as a result of that, they're going to feel guilty, some of them. And some of them are beyond the guilt. If they're going to have the psychological problem of how do you respond if someone consistently accuses you of something. And psychologically, what happens, if you're consistently accused of something, particularly if you're not guilty of doing that, after a while, you begin to take the attitude, well, if they're going to accuse me of it, I might as well be that. I might as well be racist. I might as well not act properly towards people of the other race. They're going to accuse me of it the other way. Now let's look at the black children. What's going to happen to them? They're going to be told that no matter how you achieve, no matter how hard you study, how hard you work, you can never achieve because the white race is going to hold you down. There's a concept in psychology called learned helplessness. And that concept is that you learn that no matter what you do, you can't help yourself. It's getting back to what you were saying about then you go back to the government, Rick. The government gets the only people that can help you. So what's going to do to the black children, it's going to reduce their motivation to achieve. And that's part of the problem they have now, is that a lot of them don't have the motivation they need to be successful. It's going to aggravate that, and it's going to give a reason or an excuse for not doing it now. Now it's going to be an excuse, and eventually that's going to create more hostility between the races and will result in this division you were talking about, Rick, that's their effort to divide people and create worse race relations than we've ever seen in this country if we allow this to go forward.
Absolutely. And I'd like to comment a little bit on the consequences of this. There are a number of us around this table who've been studying a book and the program associated with it called The 5,000-Year Leap. And I'm not going to get into the detail of that, but the essential concept is that in America, we have seen the advance of civilization more than 5,000 years of advance in the last couple of hundred years. And that is because innovation and success and achievement was encouraged. This division is attempting to stifle all of that and to create an environment where it doesn't matter how hard you work, you're never going to achieve anything more than anybody else achieves. Think about that for a moment. If you work hard cutting more lawns than the next guy, shouldn't you be paid more? Well, no, you're not going to be, because you're just a nice guy who's working harder for the state, and all your effort's going to go to somebody else. So why bother? It's killing incentive. It's killing our
society. You see the same thing with the push for raising the minimum wage to $15, $20, $25 an hour. You got to make me equal to the guy over here that's driving the Mercedes or the BMW and got the outdoor swimming pool or the indoor pool and the nice 10,000 square foot home or whatever. I need to be equal to him. Well, you need to work equally as hard as he did to get where he is. Or maybe he did inherit it, but somebody worked for it to get there.
What I would say is, if you want to be equal to the successful guy, go figure out what the successful guy did right. Go figure out what he learned and go learn it. You know what? I've got master's level education in several fields, and I've had young people come up to me many times and say, gee, I wish I could do that. And my answer is, you can, and if you want to, I'll teach you. Hello.
All right.
Just ask.
You got to put forth the effort.
Quick response there.
Folks, if you want to be successful, hang out with successful people, not losers.
Absolutely.
That's a good point, Bob.
I'd like to address something about what do we do about this problem. We've been talking about what the problem is, and I think we have covered a lot of the major issues. But I think we need to address what can we as citizens do to stop this.
Well, I think you did a good step towards that at the last school board meeting, when you, as a grassroots activist, got a group of people together and went to the school board meeting and stood outside with your signs that said "Stop Critical Race Theory." That's one thing that people can do. And I don't know if I cut you off.
That's a good example, and that's what I wanted to get to. And we, unfortunately, in this state, I'm not very optimistic that we're going to be able to do anything at the state level to stop this. The reason being is that we have a Democratic governor who will veto any bill that is passed to restrict critical race theory in this state. Unlike Florida, where Governor DeSantis has come out against critical race theory and has prohibited the expenditure of state funds to support it. Now, what are we left with? Well, the state is not going to be able to accomplish anything. We're left, in my opinion, with local governments. City governments, county governments. They are our last bastion of defense. Now, how do we work that? Now, if you live in a county where you have a school board that's receptive, then you can impact them. You can at least do as Rick had mentioned, let your Board of Education know the opposition. That's important to do, whether they'll change or not. But the county governments, and this is where I'd like to challenge them, the county commissioners, the city governments, they need to start looking at what their role is as elected officials. They are traditionally have dealt solely with local issues. They haven't needed to get into issues like our basic liberties, our freedoms, and so on under attack. They've dealt with budgets and other things that are important, but now we're getting to the point that their actions, in my opinion, are going to make or break this country, the local governments.
Pete, before I come back to you, I want to go back to when you were talking about Diane Ruffino and mention most of you that have listened to this show for a long time remember when Diane was on our panel. And then she came down with a brain tumor and had to go through removal of that and treatment of that and is still recovering, but recovering quite well. I'd like to mention that Diane has a blog called forloveofgodandcountry.com or .org. I can't remember. But it's forloveofgodandcountry.com. And her writings on critical race theory are posted there, and you can go the same source that Pete was using when he was talking about it earlier.
Thanks, Rick. I'd like to quote Nelson Mandela. Thank you, Bob. Our world is not divided by race, color, gender, or religion. Our world is divided into wise people and fools. And fools divide themselves by race, color, gender, and religion. Nelson Mandela. Let me go back, and Alan, to your point, I completely agree with you about what's happening in our educational system. And I believe they also call it the self-fulfilling prophecy, that, you know, you are what you think, so to speak, and what you've been indoctrinated with. I go back to our founding fathers in the early 1700s, and when we developed the Declaration of Independence, the Articles, Confederation, U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights. Inherent in many of those particular documents was the right to self-determination. We came to America to be free men and women, to realize this great nation and achieve greatness. How many people came from all around the world to America to be free and to realize the American dream? Hard work, perseverance, sacrifice are the rewards to people who are willing to make them. And Bob, to your point, I completely agree. We need to figure out a way, and I say it starts with the churches and the educational systems and everything. And to your point, Alan, also inherent in our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution is civic duty and responsibility to be politically active. Don't sit by and expect our elected officials and other folks to address these issues and these problems. Get actively involved. Stuff like Diane Rafina, what she does. Also Sloan Rackmuth and the Education First Alliance, exactly what's that. You know, when the people get involved and they become educated, they can institutionalize change in this country. Ronald Reagan once said, democracy is one generation away from extinction. It is not passed through the bloodlines. It is something that must be fought for. Stand up for your God and fight for your country.
All right. That's an absolutely wonderful quote, Pete, that I love to hear over and over again. And right now, we're going to take another break to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, if you just tuned in, I'm sorry you missed a heck of a lot of good information. And like I promised, we give you sources. Here's one. If you're looking for information on critical race theory, it's criticalrace.org. It's full of links and other sources, and you can go and do your own research. It's criticalrace.org. It's critical race training, and I think you'll enjoy that. Melissa.
You know, I totally agree with you on being politically active and paying attention to your school board, your local school board, and things that are going on. I hear so often that oh, I don't watch the news, it's depressing, or there's never anything good, or, you know, I don't get on Facebook, it's too political, I don't watch this or that. You know, I don't like those things either. And I would love for my life to be full of rainbows and unicorns, but unfortunately, I have a responsibility to my children, my grandchildren, and future generations to leave them with a world that I want them to live in and a nation that they will be proud of. And we all do. We all do as citizens of this great nation. So when you say that you're not, you know, I watched the Young Turks today, and I listened to an hour and 30-minute conversation seminar from UCLA professors. I mean, talk about, you guys know I watch The View, and just to get the other side. So when you deep dive into this, make sure that you look at the other side, listen to what they're saying. And as far as what it's coming in as a school, into the school, when they tell you CRT is not taught here, it is taught under things like anti-racism and social justice and things that your kids are going to say, I promise you, are going to say, that's exactly, that's what kind of human I want to be. That's what, I agree with that. And it all sounds good on the surface. But this is what I saw. It was an MSNBC panel. And the man said, he was a proponent of CRT. He said, the influence of CRT on academic thought in the last few decades has been so thorough that it would be effectively impossible to stop its use, even if the words critical race theory don't come up. So that, it tells you that for decades, it has been sliding in.
It has been
coming in. And you have to pay attention.
Back in the late 90s, it didn't start just in the last couple of years.
Oh, no, it's definitely been growing.
And to dovetail into that perfectly, thank you for the setup. I have heard a lot of people say, well, this stuff is going on, and it's so big, and our politicians don't listen to me, and I can't do anything about it. Well, I have said this to crowds and people over and over and over again. We were, a number of us were up in Raleigh at the State House talking to our legislators, and we asked them, what does it take to change your opinion, to make an impact on a bill? And they said, 5 phone calls. Hello, people, 5 phone calls.
Yep.
Don't tell me you can't have an impact. You can and you will if you take some action.
I want to jump back to what Melissa was talking about, the indoctrination that's going on and has been going on, and it's so embedded in this current generation of upcoming scholars and teachers and, you know, folks. This is a pet peeve of mine. You've probably heard it from me before if you listen to the show regularly, but you have got to turn off the indoctrination machine. You've got to get off of cable TV, not just because of the garbage that's being pumped into your house, but also because you're financing it. Every time you pay the cable bill or the satellite bill, you are financing that indoctrination that is coming into your house. You have so many other alternative choices nowadays with network streaming. If you have the internet, you can stream. You can make your own choices, get a Roku box. There's tons of information out there. Now, I'm going to play you an example of exactly what I'm talking about, indoctrination. How many of you parents set your toddler down in front of TV to watch cartoons like Blue's Clues? Well, here's an example of where Blue's Clues is at today.
Hey, Blue, look at all these families.
Hi, families.
It's time for a pride parade.
Families marching one by one, hurrah, hurrah. Families marching one by one, hurrah, hurrah. This family has two mommies. They love each other so proudly, and they all go marching in the big parade. Families marching two by two, hurrah, hurrah. Families marching two by two, hurrah, hurrah. This family has two daddies, they love each other so proudly, and they all go marching in the big parade. Come on, friends! Families marching three by three, hurrah, hurrah. Families marching marching 3x3, hurrah, hurrah. These Babas are non-binary, they love each other so proudly, and they all go marching in the big parade. Families marching 4x4, hurrah, hurrah. Families marching 4x4, hurrah, hurrah. Trans members of this family all love each other so proudly, and they all go marching in the big parade.
Well, folks, I think that'll give you an idea of what your kids are being fed by Blue's Clues and other like shows on mainstream media. And you, as well as adults, are getting the same kind of garbage watching mainstream news. It's all coordinated through the Mockingbird media, and you can Google, or don't use Google, use something else. You can search for the Mockingbird Project and find out how they do that, but it's all coordinated. All right, we're about out of time, so real quick, we're going to talk about this month's meeting, which is June 15th, our public meeting, open, free and open to the public. And it's at 7 p.m. Stanley Hall Ballroom, downtown New Bern. The topic is critical race theory. The speaker is Sloan Rackmuth of Ed First NC. That's Education First Alliance, North Carolina. And you can find out more about her online. Visit our website, cctaxpayers.com, and you'll get a lot of information there. Alan, yeah. You're going to be there, and you've got something planned.
Yes, thanks, Rick. Just like we did in front of the school, the Board of Education meeting a couple of weeks ago, we're going to have a rally in front of Stanley Ballroom that evening. We're going to be assembling at 6 o'clock, and we're going to have our signs, and we're going to be letting people know that we are opposed to this critical race theory, not only in the schools, but throughout the Craven County government. And so anybody who would like to join us, we'd love to have you. We'll be just walking on the sidewalk. We're not going to obstruct traffic or anything like that. We're just letting people know where we stand. The other thing I'd recommend is, as Doug was saying, contact not only your state legislators, contact your Board of Education members, and very importantly, your county commissioners. Contact them, let them know about this issue, because I intend to go to a meeting on the 7th of June and present them a draft resolution that would be opposed to this. Brunswick County, which is south of us, recently passed a resolution that would prevent the expenditure of county funds in their county towards enhancing this.
All right, and again, what time will you be lining up?
We'll be lining up at 6 p.m. And that's on the June 15th.
June 15th, that's a Tuesday evening, corner of Pollock and Craven in downtown New Bern. Meeting starts at 7 o'clock upstairs at Stanley Hall Ballroom. Again, Sloan Rackmuth will be speaking on critical race theory. After her presentation, we will open the floor up for an open forum from for or against. It's always free. It's always open to the public. We don't care which side you're on. We want to make sure your voice and your opinion is heard. So come and join us at cctaxpayers.com. You'll find more information there. And we look forward to seeing you on Tuesday.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutritional Consultant at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.